This is the Paycheck to Dayheck Reselling Podcast.
I'm Liz.
And I'm Ashley.
Together, we have been making money online collectively for over 10 years.
Our mission is to help you start, learn, and grow a reselling business and to inspire you to turn your paycheck into a Dayheck.
The world is changing and we want to help you change with it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Paycheck to Dayheck Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest. His name is Ken, and he is basically the Lego master. So if you have any interest at all in selling Lego, starting to get into this niche, this is the guy that you need to listen to. Liz and I actually met him in the leads group that we had been in previously, kind of like all connected at the same time. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night as we were kind of preparing for this episode. It's really cool how a lot of us went off and sort of did our own thing. Like Liz and I have the podcast. You have a group that we'll get into and talk about. But, you know, there's a bunch of us who kind of like started our own groups and started our own like podcasts or ways of helping the reselling community. And I think that's, it's like we graduated, you know, it's such a cool feeling. And then coming back together and talking about what we're, you know, specializing in. It's very cool. So Ken, welcome to the show. We are so happy to have you. Please give us like a little introduction on who you are, what you do, and we'll go from there.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. This is exciting. It's great to see you guys. I'm Ken. I'm out in the Boston area, married with two kids. My wife, I lovingly refer to as my VA. She does all
I'm
of
sure she
my.
Loved that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, she does. So it's funny because I call her that because she does a lot of my my prep and my packing and shipping and things like that. But I'm out in the field at work all day, so it just magically happens while I'm gone. I never see it, so it's virtual in my head. I come home, it's all done, so it's awesome. She takes.
I need someone like your wife.
Yeah,
even though I have Casey, but it's a joint effort with us.
Yeah, it's like magic. I come home, the house is clean, the food's ready, everything's packed. She's the best.
She sounds like a great lady.
Yeah, yeah, she's a champ, and she tolerates all my nonsense.
That they usually do, right?
Yeah, I don't know how she does it, but.
So you mentioned before we started recording, you how you were working in the field. Explain a little bit about what that means.
So I work in construction. I'm basically somewhere different almost every day. We juggle, I don't know, half a dozen to a dozen jobs at a time. So I'll bounce from one job site to the next, putting out fires, making sure everything's good, strapping on a pouch if I need to. And that kind of fills my brain space most of the day. Anytime I can, you know, it's the phone comes out and a little bit of sourcing has to get squeezed in here and there.
Got it. No worries. Okay. So you reselling, tell us the story about how you got started. Did you start with Lego? Did you start somewhere else in a different niche? Give us like a little bit of background.
So I started at the beginning of the pandemic, like a lot of people, you know, when the government decided to send checks out. I'm lucky enough to be in a position where I didn't need the money, but I had to do something with it. So right. I just weighing out some options, and I found Joe Hart on Twitter and jumped into PFP and learned a bunch in there. And it was cool. And the wife opened an eBay account. I opened an eBay account, and I was kind of hoping she was going to enjoy reselling.
Yeah.
And I could continue to do construction and she could pick up on that. But she's a stay-at-home mom. We only had one kid at the time, but she was pretty busy with the little one. And
of course,
and I didn't want to just let it lag. So it's like, okay, well, you know, I'll do a little bit more. I got pretty excited about it and it was selling a lot of Bolo stuff and, you know, odds and ends. It was that time. So it was pools and weights and everything else.
Yep.
But it was a lot of work and having the full-time job. And I work basically 28 days a month. And most of the time I'm gone 9-10 hours. And that's a lot. It's sourcing RA at the time. It was a lot of that. And it was kind of cool being the only person in the store. But it was a lot.
Yep.
And then Greg Webb, Toyfolio, was in there. And talked about the buy and hold method and talked a lot about Lego. Well, Lego is expensive, and I only started with the first check there, the $600. I wasn't going to go spend a ton of money on Lego. So I bought a bulk lot of used stuff online because I heard you could resell used stuff too. I'm like, okay. And I pulled out this little red dragon and I looked up comps on eBay, and it was like 60 or 70 bucks for this little bitty dragon.
Wow.
Oh my God. I think I spent 100 bucks for this whole bucket.
Wow.
And I think it sold in the first like 12 hours I had it listed, and I was hooked. Like, I don't ever want to sell soap again. This is phenomenal. And my oldest was 4 at the time. I think she might have been 4 at the time, right about there. And so it was cool because she could play with my inventory. Awesome. What could be better? It's already used. I mean, what is she going to do to it? Right. So we took it and ran with it from there. And it's been a blast.
That's awesome. That's a great story. I love that. And I feel like we all have that one sale that kind of just hooked us, you know? Yep. It's like, wow, I spent 100 bucks for this whole bucket, and this one little teeny tiny piece sold for 60, 70 bucks. That's great, you know? Yep. And who wouldn't love that? Who wouldn't get a thrill out of that, you know? That's amazing. So my next question for you is that, you know, you're pretty well known in the reselling community, although you do sort of like, you're a little undercover, but your knowledge regarding Lego is just so expansive for having really only started in 2020. So you said your interest in it started from, what was his name? Toyfolio?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And is that what he sells mostly as well?
So Greg's big thing was just buy and hold. And
okay,
he's in an area where clearance is abundant. You can walk in and you can be, you know, a 3-card gang walking out. It just piles of stuff. That doesn't happen here.
Okay.
So I got his book, Toyfolio, which is phenomenal. And I highly recommend that. It explains the buy and hold method very well.
Okay.
And it was basically, you know, buy stuff on clearance, wait till everybody tanks the listings and does stupid things. And then when the price recovers, make top dollar. And Lego is the best thing to do with that, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because every Lego release is a limited edition. They all have an expiration date, a retirement date. That's what we call it.
Okay.
So not only does it time out, like, okay, we're not manufacturing this anymore, but there's always still a desire for it.
Right. Okay. So how do you find out? You mentioned like the retirement date. Each release is a limited edition. So how do you find out when Lego is going to stop producing those sets?
Well, up until recently, it was kind of a game of math. So historically, you can look at averages, and some sub themes, they're good for 18 months or so. So they'll get released in the summer, and then the following December, they'll retire.
Okay.
And some are good for, you know, 3 or 4 years, depending on the theme. So you could just kind of run the averages. Now we have somebody who actually manages to scrape the data directly from Lego.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I'm not even going to ask.
Yeah. It's. Oh.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So it helped. Because it's Lego and they don't reveal why they do the things they do, there are a lot of changes during the course of the year.
Okay.
So we keep pretty good tabs on them. You know, it's in January, fairly unreliable. You know, it's 60% of the information sticks. And then every month it gets a little better. And usually by October, we're in the 90% accuracy range, and wow, we're comfortable with it. So
okay, that's very interesting to me. So while we were coming up with the questions for this episode, I was, you know, thinking about Lego as a niche. So why, maybe in your opinion, or you know for a fact, why is Lego so popular? And are people that are buying these that resellers are selling, are they buying them for their kids mostly? Are they collectors of these sets? Are they buying them to build? What's going on? Why are they so popular?
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. So Lego has been the number one toy brand in the world since 2015.
Oh my gosh.
$7.4 billion, the company's worth.
Wow.
Yeah. So for perspective, Bandai is number two at like 1.5 billion. So there's a huge gap there.
Yeah.
For us, most of our customer base are collectors, because those are the people they're almost like addicts. I say that in the most pleasant way I can, you know, and they'll pay top dollar. You know, if they're building a collection and there's that one missing set, they'll pay up for it. And then we sell to a lot of grandmothers who their grandkid wants the set. They don't know what it was supposed to cost. They don't care. The grandkid wants it. They're buying it.
Of course.
Your average everyday shopper, the people that are, you know, a little more thrifty, I don't think we see a lot of them, because they can just go buy a different set for a more reasonable price.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. All right. So inventory wise, I mean, you don't have to give up like your exact sources or anything like that, but how are you finding most of your inventory? Are you doing like retail arbitrage, online arbitrage? Is there wholesale in the Lego world, secondhand? How are you finding these sets?
So I do mostly OA.
Okay.
When I hit quantity limits, or I'm in a spot where I'm getting a little worried about an account getting shut down, buying too much, yeah. Then we'll switch over to RA. We'll clean out what we can.
Okay.
And I do a fair amount in the used market. I'm sitting somewhere around 250,000 pieces right now.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's two rows you can see behind me here. There's, I don't even know what I have. There's eight. I'm eight wide and five tall.
Wow.
Behind me. And that's about a third of what I have.
Yeah. If you're listening, you should definitely hop over to YouTube at some point so you can see this. It's wild. Yeah. And it's very organized. I love that.
Yeah. All right. We try.
You're selling the sets. Are you, you know, I know that Amazon's a thing. What's your main selling platform?
So for new sets in good condition,
mm-hmm.
That is entirely on Amazon.
Okay.
If they're a little dinged up, I'll move them to eBay or Marketplace. If I try not to return anything,
yeah,
just because it's bad for us as resellers to do that.
Yep.
If something comes in and it's murdered, then that's on them. We can justify that return.
Right.
If there's a fair amount of that coming in, I still try not to return it though. I'll break the boxes open. I'll part it out and okay. I'll use the pieces for something else.
That's good to know. Okay. So talk to us a little bit about like why condition would matter so much. Obviously Amazon they're kind of sticklers for, you know, yep. boxes and items being in excellent condition. But, you know, you mentioned before collectors, I imagine if someone's a collector and they're buying a set, they want it to be pretty pristine. Is that right?
They do. And some of them are pretty picky.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. You know, if a set retails for $100 and they're paying $350 for it, they want to be able to display the box.
Right.
So we try to take care and make sure that they get what they want.
So in regards to shipping these items, I imagine that means you have to be pretty careful with them. Are you able to determine, I'm not sure how you would, but are you able to determine if you have a buyer that's a collector versus like a grandma who's buying it for their kids?
So it's on Amazon, you really can't. You just have to kind of know the customer base for the set. I have loose tiers in my head, I guess, as to how I prep them for FBA. If it's under $50, I usually just throw it in a poly bag and put the sticker on the bag. So I try to keep stickers off. And then I'll do increased levels of protection above that. I'll bubble wrap them before I poly bag them. Amazon and the conveyor belts and everything they do, they just get banged up. And no fault on the, well, maybe some fault on the employees there, but you know, it's the nature of warehouse work. They're going to get a little dinged up. So try to avoid that.
I imagine if you're a serious collector, you're probably not going to purchase it off Amazon anyways. You'll go to like an individual.
Yeah, a lot of times. I mean, some people still have faith there. And if you're looking for that grail set, something really high end, Amazon probably doesn't have a listing for it anyway.
Okay.
Or the price is so astronomically high, it doesn't even make sense.
Okay.
So
got it.
They'll check eBay, StockX, and places like that for them.
Okay. All right. So I have a couple of like fun, sort of like rapid fire questions for you. How many listings or SKUs on Amazon do you have currently?
On Amazon? Oh, I don't know. I think I'm 40-ish. Not a lot.
Okay.
I think across the board, I'm at like 100 between the three platforms.
Okay. That's good to know. What has been your most profitable Lego flip of all time?
So not a big number, but just on percentage. So I figure when I buy bulk lots, I'm averaging 3 to 5 cents a piece. Because it roughly 300 pieces per pound, it weighed out that way.
Okay.
At the bottom of a bin, I found a minifigure head that was somewhere 3 to 5 cents that I sold for $80. So it just as an ROI percentage, that was just massive. And
I love that.
Oh, I laughed for ages when that sold. I couldn't believe it.
That is like, that's the stuff that like gets me out of bed in the morning at like 3 to 5 cents to $80. That's a massive flip. That's amazing. Yep. I love that. And it's the teeniest, tiniest little piece, you know?
I was so worried shipping it. Like,
did you like wrap it in like a ton of bubble wrap?
Oh yeah. It's, I carry, the tiny little Ziploc bags.
Yeah.
And I Ziplocked it and then I bubble wrapped that and I put it in a box and I put it in a bubble mailer. Like,
oh, that's awesome. All right. So beyond your most profitable flip, what has been your like favorite all time flip?
Still the Red Dragon, the first one. I've actually sold a couple of them now. I have most of the pieces to complete another one.
Okay.
I think I'm going to keep the next one.
Nice.
I think I'm going to keep it. I'm going to put it on a shelf just because it's a fun memory.
Yeah. It's like a constant reminder. That was your first Lego flip. You know, yep. I love that. All right. Do you have a unicorn Lego set that you hope to find one day? Or maybe you've already found it, like that one that you just can't stop thinking about.
Well, so one to sell, is Cloud City. It's 10123. So that set retailed for $100 in, was it 2003? It was on the shelf for 18 months and nobody liked it.
Wow.
And nobody cared about the set at all, to the point where it was at they were selling it a Tuesday morning, the discount store, which I think is gone now, and you could buy it there for $40. That set now sells in new condition for around $7,000.
What happened there?
It was one of the first ever Master Builder series before UCS was a thing.
Wow.
I think it was before the first UCS, and all of the mini just about all of the minifigures in it are exclusive. They're a big deal. The Boba Fett minifigure that's in there sells used with Nyx on it for $1,500 on its own.
Man. All right. Like, so that number was 10123. Is that right?
Yeah, it's 10123, I believe.
Ashley's going to go home and look locally and try to find it.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
That's wild.
It's almost impossible to find at this point, new.
Sure.
I mean, it's 20 years old, so people have opened them, they've played with them, whatever else. And
of course.
You do still see listings from time to time of the minifigures or random parts. It's actually a pretty terrible set.
So if someone was going to come across one of those, they would need to know what the parts and pieces of the set included, I'm assuming, because you're probably going to come across something like that at like an estate sale, grandma and grandpa, you know, like went into a nursing home or something and they're cleaning out the house, or a garage sale, something like that.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep. And then follow the parts list and start counting. Hope you got it all.
Got it. All right. So let's say someone did have, I'm assuming probably not that set, but a used Lego set. Maybe their kids have outgrown, you know, the sets that they had purchased and they wanted to kind of sell them, put them online. What would be some of the steps that someone would need to take to find out which ones are profitable, what the parts and pieces are? Maybe they threw the box out and they don't know the set number anymore. Do you have like any resources you could direct people to?
Yeah, it's actually gotten a lot easier in the last year or so. So if you just pull out your phone and open up Brickignize.com, like recognize for brick, you can use your camera to take pictures of basically anything. Any piece, any sticker pieces, and printed pieces are easiest to identify. Take a picture. It'll load it up almost 100% accuracy. And from there, you can click on it and it'll tell you what set it came from.
That's wild.
And in that, it'll give you a list of every piece in the set, every minifigure, when it was released. It'll tell you what the original box weighed. And yeah, it's pretty good.
That's a great resource to have.
It's unbelievable. The developer
just nailed it. Sure, that made your life so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't around until a year or so ago. Life was hard before that.
All right. So if there are any other tips you can think of, if there's any other tips you could think of to give someone who's out like at the thrift store or garage sales, estate sales, like we said before, looking at Legos, is there anything else that you could think of that you would direct people to?
I'd be very cautious at the thrift. People like to reseal boxes and do it in a way that you can't really tell that it had been opened. So if you get it home, even if it's new, open it anyway. Dump it out, look at the bags, open the manual, find out how many bags are supposed to be in there, verify everything. As long as you're not opening the actual bags of the parts, you could still sell it as new, open box. That doesn't matter, but
okay.
Returns are bad. Unhappy customers are worse.
Yeah, that's really great advice.
Yeah, I mean, if you find loose bags at a yard sale or something, open up, recognize. I mean, most of us are pretty comfortable bringing out our phones and checking comps at yard sales anyway. It's the same kind of thing. You know, scan a bag, take a look around. Because there are so many fakes out there now, actually look at the Lego. Every Lego piece somewhere on it says Lego. So if you look at the studs, you zoom in on your phone if you have to. Every stud should say Lego on it. So check them out, make sure that they're legit. And sometimes you can find gold. I mean, it's no big thing to find a giant Rubbermaid tote for $100 or so. And we can turn $100 into a grand all the time.
That's awesome. I come across Legos at garage sales constantly, but didn't really have the knowledge and what a good price to pay would be for like a bucket or, you know, a whole plastic bin. And also didn't have the knowledge on how to identify them, you know, but now that we've had this conversation, I feel a little bit more comfortable. I could use the app and I kind of know like what to pay, you know. Yeah, that'd be great. All right,
and you know where to find me. So shoot me a message anytime. Always happy to help.
Awesome. Appreciate that. Earlier, you mentioned like the buy and hold model, and I wanted to dive into that a little bit because we do have a lot of newer resellers that listen to this podcast. And I know that, you know, it's a pretty popular model with, you know, people that are reselling Lego, but we don't want newer resellers or people that have maybe lower cash flow right now to get themselves into a little bit of a pickle. So is there anything that you can recommend? Do you have like a way of advising people on when it would be beneficial to them to start the buy and hold method? How do you advise people to start with this so they don't end up in a jam?
Yeah, it's really easy to get jammed. It's a cash flow monster.
Yeah.
So definitely don't start until you are comfortable in your cash flow. You know, if your business is at a point where you're making sales every day and your bills are paid and you're comfortable, then jump in. I like to advise treating it like an investment because the growth in Lego was really good. I mean, everybody's heard at some point in time, oh, it's better than gold. It's better than the stock market, which whatever, that's a whole different conversation. But there's nothing saying that you have to go all in. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars. There's no reason why on occasion you're already at the store, you've done your homework, you find a good deal, you spend $10, you throw it in the closet, you bring it out a year later, your 10 turned into 20, you know? So it's based on your comfort level, but don't get yourself jammed up because we see it too much. People get excited. It's the shiny object, clearance. The prices are amazing. And then like, oh, I can't afford to buy the common goods that are my bread and butter because I'm all jammed up. Then they sell them at break even or a loss and they've wasted all that time in between. So it is an important balance.
Good to know. All right. So selling on Amazon, could you give someone a little advice on how to get started with ungating in Lego on Amazon?
So I'm of a slightly different school of thought than a lot of people. The most common thing is to do the keychain method. It is it's by far the most affordable. And actually, it's in your interview with Chris Grant, not that long ago. I don't remember when it was. He talked about, you know, it's, I think he was talking about multiple on gates with that. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
So that makes sense. It's a cheap investment. It's pay to play. You're in for $50 or $60 and you can get on with it. I hate the whole pay to play idea. I don't ever want to spend money that I'm not going to make money on. So for standard reselling, that makes sense. For Lego, I want to buy something I think is a good investment to get ungated. So I try to make, you know, it's lower price investment suggestions for that.
Okay.
But you have to be prepared that you're not paying to play, but you're going to be hanging on to it for a while.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. And, you know, that makes sense as well. Like, I've had that thought, I guess, in the back of my mind too. You know, like, I could spend this money and yes, it gets me ungated, but you're losing money or maybe breaking even if you're lucky. Why not? Like, there has to be some other way of like finding an item that you could purchase to send in to get ungated that will also make you a little bit of profit, hopefully, you know?
Yep.
So it's good to know that there are other trains of thought out there, ways of learning that could make you some money and also get you ungated at the same time. So
yep.
We're going to get into more of that in just a little bit, though. So walk us through what a day in the life looks like for you.
Oh, it's a mess. So it basically, I get up, my kid gets on the bus, I run out the door. And I go find nails to hit and I come home, you know, at dinner time with the kids. And the second they go to bed, it's Lego time. So I will, it varies a ton from day to day. I'm not one of these super structured, here's my list one at a time. I'm scatterbrained. I want to check, you know, verify what sales are still going on, make sure everybody in group is still doing well. You know, it's checking my deliveries from the day. Make sure my repricer is good. If I have some time, I want to hop in, try to build something. We'll part out a set, see what the wife has accomplished during the day, get a little embarrassed that it's way more than I've done, you know, it like that. I crunch a lot of data, a lot. We have the retirement list spreadsheet that we maintain. And in that, it has way more data than is practically usable in a lot of cases. But I love it. I like to know what's going on with current investments and I keep track of what the future investments are. So we already know or have a good idea of what Lego is releasing up until like late spring next year. So I dig into all of those sets and see if there's anything in those that'll affect current investments. And then I break all that down. I let everybody in group know if, you know, like, hey, danger, you know, something's coming out that's going to hurt us, you know, take care of that, or we'll move some things around.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Let's get into the group a little bit. So you have a Discord group that is called Brick Dynasty, all about Lego and investing in Lego. I recently had the pleasure of checking it out a little bit, and the information inside of this group, you guys, is like we just heard, so incredibly detailed. I've never seen anything like it. What inspired you to start this group, and how does this group differ from other reselling, you know, groups that might include Lego as well?
So basically, I was inspired because I'm cheap. I think it's the honest way to put it. There were a lot of things that I wanted to do for myself as far as like the stock monitors for stores and, you know, discount stuff like that. I needed better information in the spreadsheets and stuff I was doing myself. And I want that stuff all comes with the cost, but there's no reason why in that cost, other people can't use it as well. So why not start a group and we'll just kind of, you know, other people can pay for the stuff that I want, really.
Right.
And in that there are people selling the same things that I am. If they can be better at it, then they can sell for higher prices, which means it's not dragging my price down. So let's all learn together and everybody can get better. We can have good resources and everybody can make more money. And
I love that.
So far, so good.
Yeah. How long has the group been around for?
So we started in think. So the first people came in April of last year. I let a few people in at $50 for the year, which in hindsight, it
absurd.
but basically, everybody come in. Let's tell me what I'm doing wrong. I don't know how to structure a group. I've been in a couple, but I've never been like on the group owner side. Right. So like, everybody come in cheap. Let's figure this out. How can I make this awesome for everybody? And that went pretty well. And we just grew and grew. And then what are we, like 2 months ago or something, cake flips, Casey, I'm sure everybody's seen him on Twitter, Instagram, somewhere at some point. Mm-hmm. He approached me about jumping in with a group that he was merging. It became the super group of sorts, and asked if Brick Dynasty would live in there. And they had access to a lot of resources I didn't. So I said, yeah, let's do that. We're moving. Yep. And told the group, and we up and moved everything over there. And the tools they have are so powerful. And it's awesome. We have so much more fun now.
That's great. Yeah. How many members do you think you have, like, this month?
So right now, it's a little hard to figure because there's some overlap between Divine, the bigger group, and ours.
Right.
But we carried 120 members in with us.
That's a great size.
Yeah. And active in chat, you know, the people you actually see, I guess it's probably 35 or 40 that are visually active.
Right.
But it's a good number. It's manageable. You know, I keep a pretty good eye on everybody's activity everywhere.
Yeah.
So if I see somebody doing something weird, I can chime in like, hey, you know, are you okay? You know, did your house burn down? do you need this money? So it's cool because I was a little worried that, you know, you put this many people in a room, and we've all seen it in other groups, you know, something goes out and the price goes to hell. It's not happening. I mean, they're learning and everybody is great. It's been really good.
It's such a great feeling, and it's so refreshing when that happens. You attract, you know, just the right people that you need around you. You know, yeah. It's just, we have the same thing with our Facebook group. I was a little bit worried, having been in, you know, other reselling Facebook groups before, the negativity and the complaining and the, you know, bashing of like new people asking simple questions that we've known the answers to for years, but they're brand new and they don't know. And yeah. I can't stand that. So I was a little worried when we started ours, but we haven't seen any of that. And I feel a direct reflection of like how you lead, you know? So if you're allowing that negativity, if you're allowing the weird stuff to happen, like it's going to continue to happen. You're perpetuating that. If you do that yourself, it's going to continue to happen, but we haven't seen any of that. And I'm really glad that you're having success with your group too. It's, you know, from what I've seen, I've been in there a few days now. You're always in there, it seems like. You're always answering questions, providing information. It's great. It's an incredible resource that everyone is so lucky to have. And, you know, I don't want to spill the beans too much, but could you give us like a little sneak peek into the group so listeners know how awesome it is, besides what you've already disclosed? Like, maybe what are some of the channels inside the group that you think provide the most value?
So I think some of my favorites are the events and promos channel. I love that one. We usually know what events are happening, you know, a week or two ahead of time. So I'll put as much information in there as I can. And usually we get free stuff with those promos at different spend thresholds. So I've started putting out a spreadsheet for every event. These are the best combinations of sets to buy to hit those thresholds. And it's worked out really well. And we organize it in such a way where I put in what the quantity limits are for everything. So it's like, okay, you can buy this combination twice and then switch to this one so nobody's breaking quantity limits and getting in trouble. That's fun. I really enjoy set analysis. I'll break down, you know, it's how I feel about sets, you know, what the price per piece is, what the sale price is, why it's good if it's trending with a movie coming out, that kind of thing. And our retirement list is just a monster. Should be in the next couple of weeks. The next version of that's coming out. It's switching to a web app, and it'll be out of sheets and a lot easier to use. Trying to build in a lot more functionality. Ideally, at some point, and we'll see how it goes, because technology is not my friend, but we have friends who are good with technology. We're going to try to integrate some stuff in there so the retirement list becomes RA friendly.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes, but that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's already awesome, but that's a great vision that you have. You know, I was reading some of the SET analysis write-ups that you have to my boyfriend. We were sitting on the couch, I think it was 2 nights ago. I'm like, you got to listen to this. Like, this is the most detail about Lego I've ever heard in my entire life. And he's like, this is just mind blowing. Like, you could become an expert in this in a very short amount of time, it seems like, just by absorbing the information in this group. You know, like, you've done so much of the work. It's just a crazy amount of information.
Yeah, I just basically anything I was doing before the group, I'm just doing out loud now. And it's a huge benefit to me, because, you know, everybody learns in different ways, mm-hmm. but this checks all of the boxes for me, because I'm writing things down, I'm saying things out loud, and I'm seeing them in front of me.
Right.
And I think that carries over so everybody else can do it as well. So
absolutely. And you're never going to forget the information.
I hope not.
Yep. All right. So I want to switch gears a little bit back to your business. Specifically, what do you think has been your business? Wow. What do you think has been your biggest business success so far?
Consistency, I think, is a big thing. It's really easy to start and stop, which I think was one of my problems with reselling non-Lego things. It's people talk about, you know, it's keeping up your chops and, you know, it's getting your reps in. I couldn't stay consistent with it. I was not interested. I don't want to sell cosmetics. I just can't want to. Socks don't interest me.
Yep.
The Lego is fun and I can hammer away at it every day, and it's 4 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we're 3.5 years in now or something, and we're after it. And yep. that's been a win, I think.
Yeah.
It's made all the difference.
That's huge, I think. You know, like, if you can push yourself to be even a little consistent every single day, week over week, month after month, year after year, that is what builds a business. You know, it's like you said, when you start and stop, you're losing your momentum. And you're breaking promises to yourself and you're second guessing yourself as well. You know, I heard someone say the other day, and I've been waiting kind of for like the perfect time to say this out loud, but someone said something the other day about how, why is it that we'll go to work like a 9-to-5, we'll go work, you know, in the car business, that's where I'm from, construction company, like wherever it is that you're working, why will we go work all these hours for someone else? But when it comes time to build our business, we can't be consistent with it, but we're going to go to work every day, not miss a day, not call in sick. We're going to work our butts off for someone else, but we can't be consistent and build our own business for ourselves, you know, like, yeah. That was like a gut punch. You know what I mean? Like, why am I so loyal to someone else and I can't show that same loyalty to me and my business and keep the promises that I made to myself? So yeah, I've been hanging on to that one for a little while.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
What are some of your goals for 2024?
So my loftiest goal, I guess, is, and I think I have a shot at it. We're talking about starting a Lego warehouse. So think like prep center.
Okay.
Specifically Lego. Long-term storage fees are very high at prep centers, and people that are investing in a lot of Lego are pretty jammed for space. Why not take care of that need? And I know how to pack and ship Lego. You know, I know how to store it, and I need better storage for myself. So like the group, my needs, everybody's needs, let's take care of them all at once.
Oh,
so we're going to take a shot at that. I'm only an hour to an hour and a half from New Hampshire, which is a tax-free state. So there's some potential. I've been kicking some tires and, you know, knocking on some doors. And it could happen. So,
yes, that's huge. Yeah. Wow.
Other than that, just maintaining and growing. I'd like to come close to 2x-ing my business next year. That might be a little unrealistic after this year's growth, but it's possible. So we're shooting for it.
What was your growth this year, if you don't mind sharing?
It's 160%.
Oh my God.
So it was a good year.
And, congratulations.
I'm currently carrying zero debt, and still we took an Amazon loan in 2001 at some point. So we've put in $5,000 from that, and our original like $600 investment, we are $0 out of pocket since then.
Wow.
So we'll keep
That's
going.
Cool to do it. That's amazing. All right. Ken, if you could start your Lego journey all over from the beginning and tell yourself one thing or give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be?
Data is everything. Pay attention to data. Your emotions do not make you money. If you think it's cool and you think it's fun, that doesn't mean somebody else does. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It took me a bit to learn that one.
Yes. That's a big one. You know, emotions get the best of us all sometimes, and taking the emotion out of business is very, very important to be successful.
Yeah.
All right. We ask this question of every single guest as the last question when we interview people. If you could give your fellow resellers one piece of advice on how to turn their paycheck into a day check, what would it be?
Be consistent. I think that's the big one. And I don't think it can ever be said enough. Show up every day and put your effort in, and you're going to go a long way.
I love that. All right, Ken. So your group, Brick Dynasty, you've offered listeners a code if they wanted to join. Did you want to go ahead and tell them a little bit about that?
Sure. So code P2D podcast, that's the number 2, we'll get 50% off first month, and that's either option. So we have 2 tiers. You can get in just for Brick Dynasty, the Lego investing portion, or all of Divine, which includes Brick Dynasty as well. And come in and have some fun, because that's all we do in there.
And you'll join us, because I'm in there as well, which I have to comment. I really like your group, and mainly because when we were in the reselling group, there were so many things going on. There were so many channels. It was really difficult for me to like keep up with everything, but you have yours so unbelievably organized. I feel like anyone coming in who's even unfamiliar with using Discord is going to be able to navigate through it. So that would be one perk of it.
Yeah, that's great to hear. We've put a lot of work into that. And I got to shout out Derek. He is a champ. He has done so much to keep everything in line over there. He's our ace.
Awesome. Well, Ken, thank you so much for spending time with us. This was a great conversation, especially to get people started if they have any interest in the Lego niche. We are going to link the group below in the show notes and on YouTube for anyone who's interested. We're also going to put Ken's Twitter handle if you want to go check him out a little bit in his posts. He's a great follow for sure. But Ken, thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
Thank you guys for having me. This was fun.
All right, guys, that's a wrap on today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Paycheck to Daycheck Reselling Podcast.
Anything we mentioned in this episode will be linked down below in the show notes or description down below.
Be sure to share this episode with anyone you think it will help, and follow us on social media at P2D Podcast.
Thanks again for listening. Keep working towards that day check.